So any comments besides the bird? Does anyone else have something to say? Bird really sounds like it's just right in there with us. So beside the bird, does anyone else have something they would like to say? With a check-in or a comment about what they've noticed this week for themselves and anything that relates to this class.
I found the meditation very helpful, Sarah. The empath, when you posted the class, that was really, really helpful.
Wait a minute. What are we talking about? Are we talking about the meditation from last week, Marian?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And also the flow, not fear one also was very helpful.
That's a good one to listen to for a short way to disengage from all the craziness that's going on right now. That flow, not fear one.
I can speak to that. It certainly was short enough, and it did the job. Yeah. It did. Grateful.
Yeah. A couple of those meditations are up on Insight Timer. I never knew about Insight Timer till someone told me about it. Do you know about Insight Timer? Do people know?
No, what is it?
Yes.
It's a site that has 22,000 meditations, classes, all kinds of things. 22,000 meditations. I mean, the people just post, and they're mostly free unless they're offering a class or something. And so I've put a few up recently on that. You know, you can tell I've been like pushed out a little farther, you know, than I normally reach. So that's part of this. And that's not, you know, my natural place is to retreat back into a little tree stump, but something's pushing some of the stuff out.
Light is coming out from the bushel basket.
Right. So you'll find some meditations on there. It's a good thing to try. Just look into it, the Insight Timer. And then there's that Calm site that has those relaxing meditations and ways to help you get to sleep. There's so much available right now that is helpful. And then these classes are a little deeper, probably a lot deeper, and carry the energy of the group wholeness. And that's something I did want to speak to tonight. Because the sacred circle, and I'm not sure if everyone understands this, but the sacred circle gives us access to frequencies that we would not get access to necessarily by ourselves. In other words, there's a set of frequencies that are attuned to groups, to the we instead of the I. And it's not that the we disappear, it's not that the I disappears, but the I becomes transformed. And the frequency of moving towards this unitive type of consciousness, which has to do with this telepathic topic that we've got going here. We keep imagining a future evolution or the evolution of our being in the moment from the perspective of our old paradigm. So even the beginning part of this class was about getting beyond our kind of traditional thinking about what telepathic is. You know, the old paradigm telepathic is more of a psychic, you know, approach, such as, you know, I hope I can get my answers so I can do this, this, and this, or make this decision, or I hope I can know what they're that other person is thinking. You know, it's kind of that old psychic approach. And that paradigm just doesn't exist any longer. And so we're defining old terms with new meaning now. And in order to move from old paradigm thinking to new paradigm thinking, or what we call from third dimension to fifth dimension, or into the ninth wave, the Mayan calendar thinking, being connected as a society, as a culture, where the consciousness has a matrix that allows access to certain transparent attunements is part of this. And it's really hard to imagine a culture like that from the position we're in right now. So from the position we're in right now, thinking about being so transparent, like Becky, you were talking about that earlier on in the class, like, what does it feel like in old paradigm to think that everyone would have access to everyone's thoughts and feelings and everything would be transparent and known? From old paradigm thinking, that's a really scary thing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From new, so you have to make this leap into this new paradigm consciousness that is centered in wholeness to understand what new paradigm telepathic nonverbal communications about. You know, if you're in this third paradigm, competitive, polarized, kind of negative conscious mindset, just even examining nonverbal communication is frightening. But imagine that you are in this new paradigm where the body, mind, and soul are harmonized. Your sphere consciousness is more of who you are. So, you know how in that meditation we felt the impact of the energy coming in, and we were more than just our physical body. Our physical body receded and our energy became our primary identity, right?
Yeah.
And so if our energy field, we're just taking that number of 6 feet because that seems to be predominant now. And if we walked around as energy beings, like as orbs, and we knew that the 6 foot distance was our common sense of where a being begins and where a being ends. Like now we know that, let's say, a 2 foot diameter is where a person begins and ends, right? But imagine that it's a 6 foot diameter. I mean, that's how, I'm just saying that so that you can get an idea of how big of a leap the shift into this new consciousness is going to be. And that means our entire nervous system has to shift. Our whole physiology will change. Our physiology is dependent upon a certain bandwidth of electromagnetic energy. And once we open up to a broader band, our whole physical identity and physiology will change too. So we're looking at a very, very big shift here. So the idea of being transparent is and telepathically connected has a completely different meaning in this new paradigm than it does in old paradigm. So can you get the contrast that I'm trying to illustrate right now?
Yes.
I don't think so, yes.
Yes.
So from old paradigm, we're thinking, oh, someone can hear what my stinking thinking, right? And I can hear, and believe me, you know, I have to say, I had an experience this weekend where, oh my God, where I just heard some people's thoughts, and I just don't even want to hear them. I mean, in the old paradigm, the way that thoughts and thinking and feeling is happening is just very low frequency, and who wants to be exposed to all that? But we really are in the middle of this shift, and you wouldn't be in this class if you weren't attuned to the shift and being kind of riding the wave into this new paradigm. The issue becomes, do you have the mastery to hold that consciousness? And that only comes with practice. It's the kind of thing that you can touch these beautiful places and you can get clear and you can come back to your true self. But do you have the mastery to sustain that consciousness? And that really comes down to practice, and it's not something that anyone else can do for you. Someone can help you access these states, reference the states, but it comes down, just like someone could tell me what it's like to run a marathon, but unless I do the training, I can't do it. So there comes a point on the spiritual path where the practice becomes extremely important. And what is that practice? Now, the practice that we center this work around is the connecting with Mother Earth and Father Sun and becoming that flow of energy. Now, that is a multiple level practice. It develops concentration. It shifts your identity. It clears the heaviness from your system. It helps you identify with the true connectedness of your being. It helps you shift into your heart. It has so many benefits as a practice. So when you can sustain feeling that energy in your being, like feeling your feet right now and feeling the energy coming up through your legs, while listening to me, while talking to someone else, that's a huge practice in concentration and mastery. And once you can feel that energy and sense that groundedness as a background program, you will then be able to sustain a higher frequency in your being as well. So that's where this practice comes from. Now I'm going to jump back to the group practice. So in the new paradigm, there is no ego as we know ego. There are, you could say, filters through which experience is condensed and transformed and redirected into the system. But what happens is the ego decalcifies. I mean, the ego right now, the way we're using it, is a calcified form of energy. And really what it is, what it's meant to be, is a filter, a perspective. It's like a set of glasses for each one of the chakras and the energy points. So right now the ego has gotten to its most calcified form, which sets in this rigidity and polarity that's going on in the planet right now. As we keep shifting, that calcification is going to dissolve. There won't be a need for an ego because each person will be a total being unto themselves. Okay? Now, given that we're at the beginning of this change and this shift, there are some people that are the, what I call the scouts, or the people who are helping to make the inroads as we collect a critical mass of people who are moving into this consciousness. And that wave is happening. I mean, I'm sure every one of you, as you look around in your life, you're seeing more and more people entering into the spiritual realm, whether it's from their yoga or Tai Chi or some kind of breathing practices, or they're listening to the meditations on Calm or Insight Time or something. It's in our culture now. But there's got to be a critical mass that's developed. And as we move through this, there's several waves of transformation going on. And so it's not simple. It's a complex process. But you have to kind of choose which one you want to be on. And then commit to it. And there's no wrong one, but I can tell you there's one that you'll feel more comfortable with. And if your being is constantly searching, seeking higher frequency, interaction with other people where the ego, the calcified ego, doesn't get in the way, where there's a beautiful intimacy created by shared energy, by shared light, then you're the kind of person who is being moved into the new paradigm. And that requires some practice on your part and some commitment. And it's no longer about some guru or some other person who knows how to do it. Each person has the dispensation to do it themselves. Each one of you. And part of my job is to convince you that you do have it. I can't believe how many people don't believe that they can, that they're divine. So the energy is coming in right now to help you own this. And this is part of the nonverbal communication. And it's learning to take in that subtle energy and allowing yourself to believe that you can sense this, that you can eventually interpret it clearly. That you are a center of light. And the greatest fear is letting that calcified ego take over. Okay? I mean, everyone here, that's what you're afraid of, that somehow you're going to distort the beauty of your soul with this calcified ego. And so you hold yourself back. Susan, you want to
I'm sorry.
Mute?
Yes.
Thanks. So let's talk about that fear for a few minutes here. Can you feel there? It's almost like a clear plexiglass barrier that separates you from owning this. Can some of you feel that? So I'm going to ask you to, and if everyone could be quiet right now, that would be good. I just want this to be clear. would like you to step back into your being, into the place where you know your light exists and your love exists. Could some of you feel that separation dissolve?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, very much.
Okay, good. Does anyone have a hard time with that?
I do.
Okay, who's that? Oh,
Denise.
Okay. I'm going to do this again. We're going to do it over and over again. Okay. So, can you feel how you're separated from yourself, Denise, in a certain way?
Yes.
Okay. And that's what everyone was feeling. That's not, you're not any different than anyone else. So I'm going to say this again, and we're going to do it again. So there's a part of us that's separated off. That's almost like looking back at ourselves and being critical and making ourselves small, instead of rejoining that part that feels separate or outside, rejoining with ourselves in the place where our light or love or sense of peace is. It's a rejoining. There you go, Denise. With yourself, and it can just feel, I think for Denise, for you, it's peace. It's just like a settled quietness for you. Does that make sense, Denise?
Yeah, it's like you've talked before about those tentacles going out and kind of pulling those tentacles back in, like the operator switchboard and pulling all that stuff back in.
Right, and where you've come back to is your being, and that being is light or love or peace, however you want to describe it. Can you feel that return to yourself?
Yeah, I feel more like my tingling in my feet and more connected to the earth.
Good. Okay.
And so it's just that feeling that you're talking about?
Yes, but it's not just, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It seems so minor to me. It's like, I don't think I'm there. It's just, this is how I feel.
I know. And we think that separated part, that tentacle that goes out, is supposed to be out like that. Only that part of us that separates off or extends out is keeping us from feeling whole and identifying with our light.
And that's where when you say light and love, like those aren't things that I'm feeling when I feel this way. I just feel grounded.
Right. And so that's why I'm saying to you what it looks like is peace. It looks like being settled and not agitated. So I'm not sure how many different experiences there are. So maybe other people can tell us what it feels like to them.
Well, this is Tracy, and I felt sort of regressing into childhood.
Yes. Into that, and tell me what that felt like as into childhood.
Well, it was I don't know how to describe it. It was real, but just innocent, you know?
Yes.
That's the only thing and was definitely connected to nature. I was surrounded by nature in a very deep way.
Okay. So very often that feeling of going back to the time when you were a child before the world, you know, every child, I'll qualify that. Let's just say maybe 97% of people as a child within the first year or 2 years feels beautiful. They don't, the world hasn't told them they're not yet. And so, Tracy, that innocence that you were talking about refers back to that. It's before the world has told you that you're not beautiful and you're not perfect. And I don't care how beautiful you are on the outside, most people, even the most beautiful people in the world, don't feel beautiful. I've worked with Victoria's Secret models that hate themselves. Yeah, I mean, it's like you think all these people, actors and all these beautiful people, think they're beautiful. They don't. They have as much self-loathing and separation from self as anyone else. Okay, we're coming back.
So this is Ananda.
Uh-huh.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is when you're having to engage your mind, which to relate to the world sometimes we have to do.
Oh, yes.
it's like, again, you maintain this dual awareness of this place of peace, as well as being, you know, very focused and busy and, you know, productive in some sort of, you know, 3D sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that with more practice, you let the world infect you less. So it, instead of a dual awareness, you're able to stay seated in that unified place within you, and you're able to relate. There really is an infection, a virus, that gets that invades our true being. So there's, we would call it anxiety. Let's say anxiety could cause you to leave your seated being within. People's imposing of some kind of standards with their dominance can infect you and cause you to become unseated. But there really is the ability to stay seated and relate from there. But that's the mastery practice. And I'm just watching everyone getting more and more seated and connected back to their being. It's important that we find this place so we know where to go back to. And we're doing it pretty quickly here. So the belief that you have to leave that place is part of 3D. So it's like being on vacation permanently. but this is where we're headed. There we go. Now I want you to identify that place within you with your own words and your own sense of location. Like for me, it feels like the back of my being. It feels like it's located near, like within 2 inches of my spine, including my spine. It feels like I'm seated back into my being. And then there's a feeling of seated on my lotus blossom at my seat too. So that's what it, my felt sense is. So see what your felt sense is of that place. And if you feel yourself trying to pop out, come back. Some of this popping out, and I can attest to this myself, is that fear that I'm not going to be able to answer to someone else as quickly, as smartly, as perfectly as they want me to. And I had a father that was like the father in Cheaper by the Dozen. He was a time management expert. And everything was, it was like in The Sound of Music with a little whistle and everything had to be done exactly. So I was really trained to respond to that external demand and never got a chance to find out who I was. I was trained from a very early age. And it took a long time to return and figure out, regrow myself up. There we go. And there's nothing about being seated in your true being that means that you can't move quickly, think quickly, respond quickly. You can do all that. You just want to stay seated in you.
Can I ask a question, Sarah?
Sure.
So you've often mentioned that, you know, as we're doing this, that there's those heavy energies that are dropping away and feeding the Mother Earth. And like, how do you have a sense? I never have a sense of, you know, like energies moving. I just have a sense of that peace that you're talking about.
Then you're just fine skipping over all that, feeling peaceful. Each person has a different felt sense of all this in their being. Okay. And it's very difficult to include all the possible sensations when I'm teaching. And so if you end up in that place, that's the most important thing. Maybe if you spend more time in that place, you'll find out that you're sensing something more subtle because you'll be quieter. You know what I mean? It could work backwards for you.
I keep waiting.
Okay.
Yeah. I keep waiting to feel those energy because I know it's happening. It must be happening, but I just don't have a sense of, you know, like what's moving and things like that.
Right. And so sometimes someone's visual, they might sense changes in their visual field, the internal visual field. Sometimes it's just a sense of shifts. Like you just know something is shifting. And that's all you need to know. I for my work, I needed to develop my six senses in every capacity I could for the type of work I do and my path in life. But not everyone has the same things being called forth from them.
I have noticed the more I do this, the more that energy has moved from my legs up my body, you know, like over time, not, you know, like in one sitting. But now out over time of that energy moving up, now I feel like this wave going through my heart area.
Uh-huh.
And at first it made me seasick feeling.
Yes.
But now it's happened enough to where like I can feel it without feeling sick.
That's amazing, Denise. See, to me, you have practiced long enough to make permanent inroads in your energy system and that you've overcome some of the humps. Like feeling nauseous is one of the humps. Allowing old fears to come up and then like leaving the the sensations is one of the challenges. You know, we can have different things that come up that say, oh, I better get up and leave this right now. But the fact that you sat through that and allowed it to happen, even when you weren't like getting immediate feedback from what you were doing, I love that, Denise. That's amazing practice.
Sarah, thank you. Because I'm sitting here going, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm not feeling this. Like, what's happening? Like, what am I doing wrong? How much longer do I have to sit here?
but you're feeling the accumulative benefit of the practice.
Which I appreciate you saying. Thank you.
And
because
that's,
it's helping.
Yeah, that's the point. Okay. So it's like exercise. Oh my God, I exercised today and like every muscle in my body hurts right now. Not to mention 2 days of weeding, but I'll feel better in a few days. You know, the accumulation of what I did, I'll feel better. I'll stand better. I'll feel better in my body, like probably in a day or two after all this pain goes away. So it's the same kind of thing. That's what practice does. If I'm practicing the piano, I can be making the same mistake over and over and over. Then all of a sudden I can play. Okay. So that's real practice. And having the faith to sit through all that, that's amazing. Okay.
Determination.
Yeah. And that's what you do have. That is a gift you have, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has taken you through a lot of stuff that you needed to get through. So I think your practice is beautiful and you're doing great.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Sure. So it's the long-term practice that we're looking for and the benefits of that. So you heard Denise started saying she doesn't feel anything. And by the time we were done talking, she's explaining all these things she's feeling, right? And that's the way to look at this. Everyone hear that?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's that kind of, I apologize because I do have acute sixth sense abilities. So I talk about them as if they're like, you know, like easy to come by. But I use them in my teaching. So when I'm able to see people in our group over the phone and what's happening with them, I can help you, but I don't. I'm sorry if it makes it seem like I can do something and you can't. I don't want it to do that to you. So everyone needs to stay seated within themselves no matter what. And we're getting that tonight. I don't know if some of you can you feel how you're getting planted in a new way in your being?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Okay. So this is really, really important. I'll just settle in a little more here. Now, again, this is nonverbal. This is energetic, it's light, it's a felt sense, and it's learning to trust this. That once you feel that little bit of seatedness, oh, it's not my imagination. Let me feel that a little more. Let me trust this. Let me trust it. And I am that light. I am that beautiful being. Can you remember a time when you felt either beautiful or graceful or fast or just something wonderful, and then someone just like comes in with this reality whip and just said, you didn't look so great doing that, or, you know, that wasn't a perfect tennis swing, but you felt the harmony, you felt the beauty of something you were doing, and someone then criticized you, and the difference between what they saw and what you felt. Can you remember that, most of you, something, an experience like that?
Yes, I can.
Can you? So, I mean, I can remember running and feeling like I was just, you know, like the smoothest runner in the world. And, you know, if someone was just like flowing, I was probably going, you know, like one step every 5 seconds. You know, it was just like, I felt like I was running swift as the wind. And, you know, someone says to me, oh, you're not going fast enough, you know. But the interior feeling was infected by someone from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't criteria, measurements, and things like that that people agree on what happens in the world. Okay. But that part of you that knows how to feel the beauty, the harmony, the swiftness, the elegance, the river flowing through you, whatever that is what we're reclaiming here. And that's yours to return to. We're going to disinfect it tonight. That's the very special you that is your soul incarnating here, connected to the light, connected to the divine. That beauty, you know, the Sufis call it the love, harmony, and beauty, but there's many words for it, however you want to describe it. Can you each find that place? And where it has nothing to do with objective reality, what anyone thinks. It's your pure stream of beauty. I'm just going to use beauty as the code word for it right now. It could be peace, it could be flow, it could be light, it could be whatever. I'm just going to use beauty. You feel it's a beautiful feeling. And the important thing to know is you're allowed to protect that feeling from being infected by anyone else, by anyone else's judgment, opinion, criteria, anything. That is you as a divine being in a human body. And we need that as the background of our being to source how we live. Without that, that's what Mother Teresa would refer to the American people as just being impoverished on the spiritual level, right?
Yeah.
That is the wealth of your being. And you can feel it's grounded. It's not dissociated. You're not off in you know, the stratospheres, you're feeling it in your body, in your personality. That's the ego, calcified ego dissolving. Can some of you describe how it feels for you? I'd like to hear the different words, the different descriptions.
Liberating.
Liberating.
Full.
Full.
Playful.
I couldn't hear what that was. Is that Ron?
Playful. It is me. It's I.
Okay.
Empowered.
I'm sorry. Happy.
Confident.
Content. Contented.
Okay.
Joyous light that is inherently creative.
Mm.
Oh.
Flowing.
I do want you to notice you're still in your body. I'm sorry, Ken. Just you're still in your body. Can you feel that? How you're integrated with your personality? You're still here. Okay, Ken, go ahead.
I had said I had me before.
Oh, I interrupted some male voice. Who was that?
I'm sorry. That was me.
Okay. What'd you free? Okay.
Freeing, yeah.
Okay.
Uplifting.
Uplifting. See, everyone has a different word for it. I'm sure there's a Sanskrit word that I don't know that would describe it for all of us.
For me, it's wonderment.
Wonderment.
I could, mm-hmm.
It is a form of the Kundalini, actually. But you can feel how smoothly it runs in you, and it's easy to separate off from it. You have to come back.
Confident.
Confident. Now, with each of us feeling this, the circle is starting to get more and more powerful and lighter and brighter. Now from this place, let's greet the spirit of the land and notice how that is different, how it's nonverbal. It can be very amorphous. And we'll greet our bird friend, friends over at Lisa's and everywhere else. the nature spirits, and just feel it's a very amorphous kind of feeling at first, a sense of energy circuits maybe connecting. Maybe you don't have words, maybe you don't have thoughts. This is how it starts out. And we greet the spirit of the water. And we greet the spirit of the fire. Spirit of the air. And the spirit of the ether. Now we're going to pause here. And how did that feel different? Because you were not using your mind, but settled in your being in this different place, in your true being. And how might you describe some of those connections that you made?
Coming home.
Coming home.
It felt deeper.
Deeper.
Endearing.
Endearing. And what else was that?
A deep, deep love.
Deep, deep, deep love.
Felt homogeneous.
Ah, homogeneous.
Felt like there's no space separating.
Yes.
Blissful.
We're being filled up by the awareness of them. Let's fill them in.
A oneness. There's a oneness.
Now there's a shift in the group now, in the group energy. Come back to that place within you. Okay. I'll pause here. And in that nonverbal way, what happened? What did you notice? And there's nothing wrong. It's what you noticed. So, what are some of the words you would use to describe your next set of awarenesses?
I felt a smoothing out.
Ah, smoothing out. Okay.
Expanded consciousness.
Expanded consciousness.
Of calm water.
I heard a calm water, and then Fran, what did you say?
A fascination and deep contentment.
Okay.
Full hands.
All hands?
Full.
Oh, hands. Full. Full hands. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let that energy stream through your palms and your fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Good, good. And put your hands on any part of your body that
I've been doing that.
Okay, good. Okay. So this is a look, a peek into how we shift into actually these higher sense perceptions. And I'm going to explain it. So when we're in our mind, the part of our mind that's separated from the body, we have all these expectations about how this is supposed to happen. And we have all these rules and regulations of three-dimensional consciousness about how this is supposed to happen. But this time, we relaxed and came back to the light, love, smoothness, contentment, peace, wholeness of your being. And then we move from a nonverbal place, which included a felt sense, an energetic sense. This is really the awakening of the sixth sense. This is really how it happens. And it may be amorphous at first, but you may have an intuitive sense that you can describe it with. And then we deepened from this place, and we greeted the elements and the nature spirits and our bird friends. And then we had another sense of what that was. And it was a much more intimate sense of it, of that connection. And then we expanded even more, staying with our seated being. And if we weren't in our seated being, there'd be so many of you sitting there saying to yourself, oh, I'm not seeing anything. Oh, I'm not feeling anything. Oh, I'm not doing anything. But see the difference. Am I making a point here? Are you able to sense the difference between what the mind expects you to do and when you're in your true being, how it really happens?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know how when I have a session, individual session with any of you, and you come with all your questions and everything, and then I say, let's ground and settle in. Because I have to shift into this place and even deeper to conduct the session that you want to really have. Not the one you think you want, but the one you really want to have. And so I'm hoping that I'm showing you a pathway into of how you get to the place you want to go. So we shifted from that place that was separate, that held itself out separate, came back and settled in our being, which was the part of us that feels beautiful, that feels like light, that feels like love, however we want to describe it. That part that was separate came back. And then we felt that purity, that place that was not infected by everyone's thoughts and feelings and whatever the world has made up the world to be. There is a place in us that is essential, that is that current of being that is us. And then from that place, you're able to feel a different type of connection with the elements that we greeted and the nature spirits. And then there was a natural lightening and new experience that would come in without the pressure of the mind trying to figure it out, trying to make something out of it and limit it. Did I describe it in a way you can relate to it?
Yep.
Yes.
So starting from the place of the separated mind, you're not going to get too far. All it will be is mind regurgitating mind. Coming back to this pure place, and you're going to practice over and over and over coming back to this place so that you get to know it for yourself. That you have to claim it, you have to come back to it and be able to sense when you've separated out from it and when you come back. And that's when you can really shift into these deeper sense perceptions and awaken these senses that really communicate non-verbally. And so that's the place I teach from. That's the place I hold a session from. It's a place I live from a lot, not perfectly. But it's all from practice. Now, I was lucky. I got to practice on, 20, 30,000 sessions with people over the years. That's a lot of practice. But it's all about practice now. Okay, so I feel like we've made a big inroad tonight in terms of learning about this special place that we are. It's not in us, it's who we are. And this is where all that nonverbal communication occurs. So this week, I want you to practice that. And of course, we're all clumsy when we first practice something. But every attempt adds up to something great. That's what Denise did. She sat there with a lot of faith. And then it finally added up to something. So practice. The word of the week is practice. Okay. Any questions? Comments?
Yeah, it's Sam. I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so integrating and helpful. I feel like I've been working with at least the first part of this all week. And it was like born of the awfulness in the world. And I so clearly felt that if I didn't come back and find that place within me that's light and whole, I would just be miserable. And the meditation was so helpful to enable me to give me a grounding in that place. And what I found, and I became aware of it, that it was so tonight, is that that place, I think for the first time for me, feels much more naturally accessible.
Mm.
That's just such a gift.
So your big clue is sensing in some way that you've separated off from that place in you that is you. So remember, we started out, and you'll listen to this recording again, God willing, it'll all work. And you'll hear me describe that kind of that transparent plexiglass wall that was separating you from yourself. And then I gave the instruction of coming back, and you knew what to do. It's a totally intuitive sense of knowing what to do. And remember, it's about trusting. And you may move a millimeter, and then you have to trust that. And then move a millimeter closer and trust that. It's about trusting yourself and practicing this over and over. But it's amazing that we could do this tonight. So thank you for your willingness and your soul's readiness for this.